Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports fans, welcome to the show. The time, 4:01. Hi, I'm Milt Ellis, the voice of the Orb. Let's arm wrestle.
Sports radio.
Please note the following scratches in your program.
Mike Shope.
Penalty to number 29, Mike Shope. 2 minutes for being a jerk. Shope, 2 minutes for being a jerk. The time, 4:21.
And the Bulldog.
Who let the dogs out? Woof, 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 woof.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
A little dabble, do ya?
Yes, the show that has a clip of Milt Ellis woofing our show. I'm sure I had him read number 29 because my favorite hockey player growing up wore number 29.
Mike Palmateer.
Mike Palmateer, Leafs goalie. Joe, who was your favorite player as a little kid? Max?
Max Fedorov.
Okay, I thought maybe Pominville. 100%. Pominville was 29.
I liked Pominville. I don't really know anybody that doesn't like Pominville, but...
Right.
He was not my favorite. I would have told you I liked Vanek more as a kid growing up. Yes, I was a kid when Thomas Vanek was a Sabre, by the way.
Yes, you were. Well, so we're talking about the Blue Jays and the Sabre jerseys mostly. And so, you know, what? I don't mean this so harshly, but good riddance to the super dark blue Sabre jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, no good memories even.
No. Yeah, no. There's nothing there. Just disappointment. So, they obviously have they have a lot of work to do on their hockey team. It seems sort of far out there to think about, I guess, because we're just having playoffs now, and it's well into August, but this was a necessary thing that was, I don't know, just short of maybe demanded by fans. I mean, I think fans were demanding it. I don't know that you always get heard, but I'm excited. I'm thinking, just as it's funny, we play Milt Ellis there, and that's the voice of the Odd, and I'm thinking back to the end of the season before the lockout when the Sabres wore white, or maybe it was the year before that, whatever it was, they wore white at home, the original white jerseys at home one game back before the lockout, and I was there, and it made me cry. Like, I was – so I think none of what they announced today in the video and whatnot that they put out there, which were all, I mean, to me, all thumbs up. Like, I got no issue with almost – really anything that's happened with this rollout, which is good for them, but it really didn't get me emotional just looking at it on my Twitter feed and watching that video. But boy, whenever it is, I mean, consider that you'll be talking about, if we're lucky enough to be in the building, it will be maybe a long time coming without having that experience. And then you add into it that maybe they'll be wearing the white jerseys against Montreal or something at some point. Because I know I heard today that they are going to attempt to wear white at home as often as possible. I don't know what that means exactly as far as, the number of games they'll be able to do that in. But, man, you get them in those white jerseys at home against a traditional opponent, like Montreal wearing their red, and I guarantee you that moves the emotional meter for me. And I think a lot of people.
I would think so. I've always preferred that, or as long as I can remember talking about it, I've preferred that. I think it makes sense. Yeah. I like how there's a picture going around today of Dominic Hasek in a blue Sabres jersey, and there are red seats behind him. And immediately, if you know the league, immediately you think Montreal. That's in the forum. That's in Montreal. And how the building, which is less a thing now because more of them look the same as each other. But the building can tell you where the game is being played. Certainly the giant logo that teams now have painted at center ice will do it if the shape and the color of the seats doesn't, or the jerseys of the fans in the seats. Like, it's usually pretty easy to figure out without the teams where the game is that you're watching. And so the colors should be on the other team. But sports does not decide things based on thinking like that. There's some reason why they do it that means money to them somehow, or it's supposed to. Like, the sports does not choose how many teams are in the playoffs and what is everybody going to wear and how does the draft work. They don't choose any of those things based on what's best for the competition or what's best for the fans or what's best for tradition. They do it for what they think will be the most profitable. And somehow dark jerseys at home meant that would be more profitable, I guess.
Yeah, I remember being told, I apologize for interrupting you, I think we're having a little glitchy thing today. I remember being told years ago when that changed league-wide, the idea, like, I don't remember who told me this, it might have been someone very high up in the Sabres organization, and, you know, it's not something I've researched, but that the belief was teams are wearing dark at home because dark sells. The kids are more inclined to want the dark, and if they are seeing it at a game, they're going to want to go to the store and buy it or order one or whatever. And if the team were wearing white at home, you might not get that sale. So I think it was popularity, dark colors sell, and that's why the home team started wearing dark at home. So, like, that's been their explanation for that. I don't know that you still need to cling to that. And I will welcome if they loosen that somewhat. I mean, the Sabres did get to wear their 50th, which was white, at home last year. So hopefully on the heels of that, they can get somewhere and, you know, I don't know, half the games or whatever, actually wear, you know, home whites, which is, to me, always preferable.
I guess I have to say, though, so here I am making a point about how the money is the thing that matters or the thing that takes precedence in sports all the time. And, you know, I guess that's kind of obvious, but it really does explain certain things that they do that you might not sort of think about that way. However, like, if it weren't about that, they would not be playing any games right now. And even sports that make a lot of money, some of them can't figure out, like college football, can't figure out how to play games right now. So maybe I should be happy that the money is what it is in the pros so that there's that much on the line for these guys to get this done now. That's NHL all the way to NFL in the fall. Like, that's what it is. So maybe I shouldn't be bitter about that. It's just, you know, you want it to be what works best for the competition. Like, number of teams in the playoffs. Baseball is adding more and more teams to the playoffs, and hockey went so far this year, special circumstances, I know. But really, what are you trying to, what are the playoffs meant for? They're meant for determining the rightful champion for a season. And most of the season is the regular season. And so it should be worth a lot how well you do over 6 months in hockey or 6 months in baseball. It should be worth a lot. And it really isn't. It's worth nothing. It's worth the only thing that's really worth is to get in the top half of the league. And if you do that, then you're about the same as everybody else, you know? What does Tampa think of Columbus at this point after what happened last year? You know, that's just – it's even, right? Like, it's pretty much even.
Right, yep, yep.
And, you know, the playoffs are fun and exciting and everything, but it's just how much playoffs can we give you that you'll buy? That's ads, that's tickets, that's how much can we give you that you'll buy? And it's way more important that they accomplish that to them than it is, well, what's the smartest, most, like, the right way to determine who the champion is? If you're doing that, you don't have to have it be like baseball in the 70s or even like the 50s or 60s where two teams made the postseason or four. It doesn't have to be so strict. But
or English soccer where nobody, just that's it. The season is it. That's all there is.
I think that's pretty good, but what would you say about, like, this year? Say no pandemic, and Liverpool has it won with 10 games left or even more, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And you know, Bud Selig would have told you how that was terrible. Because, right. Or Gary Bettman yeah. would tell you how terrible that is because fan bases stop paying attention. I don't know if that actually happens, though. Does that actually happen in England? Well, you got to worry about staying in the league for some of those teams.
Right. Yeah, sure. I mean, there's always that. Yeah. I don't know. I don't get the sense that no. I think much like our experience has been with the Sabres over the last 9 years of non-playoffs, and it's, you know, obviously gotten worse as we've gone on. I think fans just sort of keep riding with their team and then actually, you know, get sort of, I don't want to say hate watch, but just, you know, a part of being a fan is criticizing them and being mad when they are making bad roster decisions and whatever. I think, like, you've got a pretty loyal fan base for the teams that play in the English Premier League. So I don't think they go anywhere. I don't know about attendance. I mean, in this year, of course, it didn't matter, at least in the end, once they restarted. So I don't know. I don't know how that comes together on that front. But, yeah, I mean, money is, you know, money is all of it. And of course, you know, being professional, like having a stake, like, you know, a big reason I think hockey got it together, and I underestimated this, was the risk that the players and owners would have felt to the whole thing crumbling around them if they didn't find a way to at least generate some revenue for their TV partners and not have to give money back in the face of, like, another season of uncertainty with maybe no fans or limited fans or whatever it was going to be. They found a way to not only agree on a restart in this incredible situation that they were in, you know, around the world and in North America health-wise, but they also agreed to a new collective bargaining agreement in the process, which is unprecedented. I mean, it's just incredible to me that happened in the face of all this, but it tells you, I think, what the stakes really were to both sides. Whereas, you know, there's a ton of money changing hands in college football, but none of it goes to the participants. None of it goes to the athletes. They're not professionals. They're amateurs. And therefore, for them to take the risk is a very different thing than a player who's used to making $6 million a year wanting to settle for making a portion of that to keep playing so that he can eventually get back to making $6 million a year again. It's a very different equation, you know, at work in college, because the schools keep all that money.
And here we are. So we will talk to back to the Blue Jays and their debut in Buffalo tonight. We'll talk to Brian Koziol in about 12 minutes. That's the plan. The Blue Jays and the Marlins. MLB Network is showing this game, and reportedly that it will be on here. I'm not sure that will always be the case. It might be. Mm-hmm. But the reports have been that this game will be on in Buffalo tonight. What they call it is, like, blacked out of market. And I wouldn't criticize anybody here for not even starting to figure out whether we're out of market. Anybody who's ever tried to watch Cleveland or Detroit or Pittsburgh or other teams play in, you know, this whatever quasi-Yankee or Met market. Like, it's just when it's not even – I don't even want to – it's like trying to figure out how many games somebody who throws a dirty hit in hockey deserves for a suspension. It's pointless. It's pointless. There's no rhyme or reason. Precedent means nothing. So I have no – maybe that's changed, but you tell me if it has, and then I'll tell you back. Like, we think this game will be on. That's what they're saying. And maybe others will be. We'll see. So that's good. You can watch the game.
Sure hope so, yeah.
In Buffalo tonight on MLB Network at 6:30. By the way, when Ben was on and mentioned how the Blue Jays have, what was it, a 642 team OPS, on base plus slugging. That's super low. I found a guy who had, 641 if you'll accept it. I found a guy who had a 641 OPS for his career. So the first guy I looked up was Ozzie Smith. Like, we picked Bumgarner just quickly when Ben was on. I thought of Bumgarner. Like, give me a good hitting pitcher. Maybe I should have looked at Greinke. But Bumgarner doesn't get on base very often. Like, his batting average has been in the 120s. and he was way too low. So Ozzie Smith, right? Ozzie Smith was not a great hitter.
Yep.
Had some decent average years, but no power. OPS is slugging too. Career OPS 666. High. Higher than the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Then I looked up Rafael Santana. I thought of him. The Met shortstop in 86. Guy was not a good hitter. You know, better than me. 601, I believe. Lower than the Blue Jays. Third guy I thought of, because apparently I can only think of like 80s and 90s middle infielders.
Yeah.
Was Mark Lemke.
That's a good place to start. Yeah.
Mark Lemke of the Braves. And his career OPS, 641. So the Blue Jays hitting, basically, is the same as Mark Lemke's so far through 13 games. Not where you want to be.
Yeah.
You guys know how to do OPS? You want to know
not
this one?
A clue.
It's on base percentage plus slugging percentage, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
So if you bat in the first inning and hit a home run, what's your OPS?
A thousand?
5,000. You're on base. Your on base percentage is 1,000, and your slugging percentage is 4,000. Total bases divided by at bats. So your OPS is 5,000. Then say the second time up, you make an out, then you cut that in half. You're down to 2,500. But the slugging, you know, it's nice, right? It makes it a big can make it a big number if you hit for power. Come on, Jays. Guerrero has one homer.
Right.
Come on, Guerrero. Come on, you're in Buffalo now. Let's see it. Let's see some power. Let's see that amazing elite all-time elite prospect bat speed at work.
Right.
Let's hope. Let's go.
The only name I thought of for this thing with the slugging when you were talking about that, it was Orlando Cabrera.
Oh, that's good.
Just, I don't know why his name popped into my head, but like, well, I know why it popped in. I mean, he was a player the Red Sox acquired to help them win the World Series and end the curse. That was a defensive player, and so not much of a bat.
707.
You know, different era. 707. All right.
Good name though. You got to go with like
so quickly.
Got to go second base and shortstops. Maybe you'd find some center fielders in the old days that hit like a Brett Butler. He hit like two homers for a season or something, or zero. Some of those guys would be a match. Brian, coming up from Salem Field, Major League Baseball, history in Buffalo tonight. We'll get a preview next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Brian Koziol in a moment. The Blue Jays and Marlins a little over an hour away at Salem Field in Buffalo. First Major League game here in more than a century. Bulldog, you okay with Khudobin over Bishop for Dallas?
I think that's got to be health related. Bishop did not play the last game of their round robin. Was deemed unfit to play. I haven't seen what the reason they're getting, but I'm assuming there's health. There's something wrong there.
I did see that he was out for warmups, and it appears as though he's backing up, so he's on the bench.
Okay, all right.
But it still could be health related. I don't know.
I'm pretty surprised. I mean, he's been one of the best in the league for a couple of years running. So, I didn't watch them at all in the play-ins to tell you what kind of form he's in since they restarted playing. So it's possible Khudobin's just outplayed him and they're making the decision based on that. But my first thought was something's wrong with Bishop.
All right. What time is that game? 5:45?
It's just about to start. 5:30 was the scheduled time.
Dallas-Vancouver?
Yep.
Very good.
No, Dallas and Calgary.
No, Dallas-Calgary.
Yeah.
Dallas-Calgary. Vancouver has who?
St. Louis.
Sorry. I believe you. I accept this information. I accept it. Brian Koziol with us from Salem Field. Brian, we're seeing the pictures and the videos. Place looks great.
It looks beautiful, guys. I mean, it helps that it's absolutely perfect weather for baseball right now. The sun is in the outfield, the shadows are in the infield, but the place looks like $1 million bucks. I mean, they've upgraded the infield, a total reconstruction of the grass in the infield and down the foul line. The outfield grass, they did some work on that, though they didn't necessarily replace. Brand new outfield walls all the way around. Of course, the normal Bison look is with green. They've now all been put to Blue Jay color blue. And the normal sponsors that you would see out on the outfield wall at Rogers Center are here at Salem Field. And then they've got that blue tarp covering most of the, what you'd call kind of the lower level seats down the third baseline, down the first baseline with some ads on it. And then all the face cutouts, some of them are faces that people would know, baseball-related, Blue Jay-related, behind home plate. I tried to get at least a section of that in that video that I just tweeted out. But it looks really, really good. They did a wonderful job.
Very good. So let's see. Maybe you have a mask on. Maybe you're inside. Maybe you're outside. What have you been able to do?
So I've got an area, essentially, for those that know the ballpark, section 100, the section behind the plate, the upper portion of that. When you walk in, there's that concourse that you kind of find, or that area where you can walk within the seats. I can't go down like I'd be going towards the field. I can only go up. We've got a section roped off there, section 100 and 101, where all the media seats are. I've got my own table. In terms of coming into the ballpark, I had to fill out a questionnaire asking me, you know, if I had any COVID symptoms. Then they took my temperature. Behind the 100 level, there is kind of a area where they do have some workspace and restrooms and, the normal cozy media life is not there. There isn't any sort of free meal or anything. They do have some, I know, very disappointing. Bottles of water and some a couple of different kinds of other, I guess, drinks you would say if you want to get like a Gatorade or something. But that's about it. Every single media table is spaced out with about, I would say, 3 to 4 seats in between. Every single media table has a can of Lysol, a bottle of hand sanitizer, and a list of protocols and rules that are kind of taped to my seat here, telling me how I can't leave the area. When I'm ready to leave the ballpark, I have to notify someone and that they'll check me off that I'm leaving. There's definitely some procedures here. I'm sure when it starts, everything will, you know, feel maybe like a baseball game. And right now, just kind of taking in everything in terms of the procedures and where everybody's able to go and not go is kind of what I've been doing here for the last half hour.
Right. So there's no like walking around and getting a different vantage point. You're basically there, restroom, and like that's it. And then you leave. That's the end of your. That's it.
That's correct. And you know, if we're interested in getting post game interviews, they're all done on Zoom. So I could essentially stay in my seat and participate if I'd like to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
We will be getting our sounds, you know, that you'll hear maybe on our station tomorrow, as well as anybody else that wants it. It's all Zoom interviews, just kind of like the Bills have been doing with theirs.
I've got a friend telling me too that they have security out in right field. They don't want people parking there to watch the game out walking the ramp in right field. So that's kind of what we've heard from the last few days. Can you see anything out that way?
Just past that kind of berm area that normally people stand on, that grass that's in between that center field pavilion area and the right field, I guess you say the party deck, right in there, I would say there's probably at least I can count a handful of security guys. I'm guessing they are because they're all wearing yellow shirts. The ramp, I know the parking ramp that's right behind the party deck in right field that I know a lot of people thought, hey, how fun would it be to go park the car there? They have put up black fencing or covering or some sort of black covering so that you cannot see through it. So that area has been taken off. Now this dead center field area, kind of where the American and Canadian flags are, just to the left of the scoreboard, if you're looking at it from home plate, normally that's another area from the sidewalk, that from the street there, that you can see in. And they have put up a double-decker fence that obviously would be taller than any sort of human being could see over. So I think the spots that maybe you could think about were the parking area, that right field area, and then just to the left of the scoreboard, they pretty much cut all that off. And I don't think it's done in any intense way, like
we don't want you to see baseball, I think.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They're all doing it in just cautionary things. If we don't want people congregating during this time, which obviously is supposed to be so sensitive with people battling COVID. So if you come down here, but I saw here actually a few people with signs out kind of on the Swan Street side and the third base side where I entered. But I don't know what they're going to do other than just stand there, because all around the entire front area where you would normally walk in for a Bison game and out in the outfield area, there's really nowhere to even sneak a peek if you wanted to.
All right. So are you going to be in that section 100 for the game?
Yes. I'll be sitting there right at the top of section 100.
Okay.
So that's where I'll be viewing it from.
And I assume you'll want to see what the post game, you'll be a part of it, the coverage after the game. Do you know what the, like, what are they doing in baseball? The manager does a presser and a player or two? How does it work?
From what we're told, that yes, they will have the manager, and then they said a group of collected players that we will be given a form like in the seventh inning.
Okay.
Say, hey, you know, is, write down the player that you would like to speak to, and then I assume they will choose, you know, two to three of them that'll be a part of the Zoom interview. So that's how that process is going to go. And then just like the Bills have been doing, they'll have a Zoom interview. And if I wanted to ask a question, just like anybody's done maybe in their Zoom sort of discussion, you type it into the chat, and then at some point the Blue Jays media staff will say, okay, Brian, it's your turn. Go ahead. And, you know, that's how they'll do the post-game sort of process.
Do you know, like, how many Toronto media are here? I know we talked to Ben Wagner. The broadcasters are not coming across the border. Are there some guys who made it?
As far as I can see, I don't recognize any name necessarily from Toronto media that were here that are regularly covering it. There are officially 30 seats in this press box, and about five of them are taken up by Blue Jays PR staff.
Yep.
There are, I would say, a handful of seats for the Buffalo television stations. There are a couple here from the Buffalo News. Some Rochester media is here as well. Other than that, though, just looking off the top of my head, I'm recognizing it as much more Western New York media than I am any sort of Canadian press here at all.
Yeah, right. It would be like a Bison's Red Wings game or something with a little bit more heft.
And, yeah, and no, Miami? I'm assuming Miami doesn't have writers traveling with.
Maybe
all, right?
Maybe not here. Like here,
I don't see any Florida media label at all. So I'm guessing they're not traveling. You know, they would be obviously doing that on their own. They wouldn't be traveling with the team. So a two-game off of Zoom, kind of like, you know, some of the other people are here too as well, and they'll go from there. That was the one thing I know initially we were talking about is, like, is there going to be a way for people to access those interviews? Is it going to be, like, one reporter, like a pool reporter, and then they'll shoot that out? But obviously now with Zoom, that's something that they can just send a link
right,
out.
Right.
And if you have the password, you know, if you're on the media list for the password, that kind of takes care of itself. But just looking at this list here, I mean, there's about 25 media members. I was just quickly looking at, there's about maybe at least 20 of them that I would recognize that is Western New York media, mostly Buffalo. There's a couple Rochester writers here, a couple Rochester TV channels as well. But remember, Rochester has a tie-in, too, because the Taxi Squad is in Rochester. So that has a little piece to that as well.
I'm sure that they're kind of using that tie-in as well as in their coverage.
Maybe. All right. Thank you, Brian. Enjoy your night.
Okay,
Brian,
guys.
Brian Koziol at Salem Field. I'm not following Yankee media or Met media, and I probably could know what the day-to-day is or what their travel schedule is, but, you know, it's states. The Yankees were just in Tampa, and I've got to think those media, at least most of them, didn't go, because if you go to Florida and you come back, you got to stay in quarantine for 2 weeks. Like, that's the deal. But if you're going to Buffalo to see the Yankees play the Blue Jays, like, you're free to do that. And the New York City media, assuming they haven't, you know, quarantined for some other reason or done something else, like, they would be able to do that. And that's not until September, the Yankees. I guess the Red Sox would be one where the media could come. Massachusetts isn't on the list. Ohio, as of today, is also no longer on the New York's quarantine list. So I think that's the guiding thing. I think that you know, media outlets would have their own say, of course, but there are some places where I think you can't go and others where you can. And this, you might see when the Yankees are here a lot more, you might see visiting media. You might see a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, I hope lots of folks get to come and you know, see Major League Baseball in this ballpark. I'd be interested to see what the coverage looks like.
Right now, from what Brian describes and what the pictures look like, it's basically, it's not a Bison's game. It's probably more than that, but it's like, maybe it's comparable in terms of the local media being there. Maybe it's comparable to like when Guerrero debuted, where I think the TV stations would cover that. Maybe, you know, media from an hour or two away would cover that. Toronto's not here, though. Toronto would cover that, and they're not here. Anyway, super interesting. Hockey, overtime for Columbus and Tampa, 2-2. They're in intermission. Calgary and Dallas has just started from Edmonton. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. More on tonight's Blue Jays game and some football as we continue toward 7 o'clock here on WGR.
Zach Moss, when he got drafted, I saw his highlight tape. I'm like, oh yeah, he run physical, and I like that. Like, he's not scared to like run somebody over, and he's gonna run them over. And I seen it. And matter of fact, today I asked him. I was watching film. He had a run play, and there was two linebackers in the hole. I said, what would you have did? He said, I would have scored. I said, yeah, I like the attitude right there. Just to let him know that I'd be watching film on everybody.
Bills guard Quentin Spain right there. More on him when we talk to Sal next hour. The Blue Jays and Marlins are closing in on first pitch, 6:37 our time at Salem Field. Beautiful night, it seems. I mean, the pictures are great. Looks pretty nice out the window. For, you know, Ben Wagner made this point. We'll have him for you encore here coming up, but he's like, it's nice, and I've said this too, you probably have too, like, it's nice that this didn't start in April when, you know, the poor Bison season starts in April. And when I lived in Rochester, it was a perennial conversation, like, should the league start its season with all the teams playing at the southern sites and spare Rochester and Buffalo and Syracuse from having to host games in the beginning of April? And, you know, well, that's a nice idea for us, but those sites, those cities don't want all their schedule up front. They want families to come, too, when their kids are out of school. So nobody wants to be at home at the beginning of April. And if we had to sit through the, like, the Blue Jays and the Major League guys coming through here for the first time for games, and it's snowing, as it would sometimes for the Bisons, like, that would suck. That would just hurt. But yeah. Beautiful
I even
night.
Feel like today we've caught a break, because there was the threat of some pretty strong thunderstorms in the area, and I can't speak for the area because I've only been in North Buffalo all day, but it's been sunny, really windy, but sunny. Windy enough that I thought for sure it was going to storm at some point, but it really hasn't, and the skies look clear now. So I think they ducked any trouble in that respect too, so that's great.
Yep, looks like 10%. Chance of rain here in the next couple of hours. So let's go. History being made on a great night downtown. Joe and I were talking about the shape of Cheetos today. Turns out there are no Cheetos, Joe, in the vending machine.
There are not. Okay. But I thought there were.
Didn't they change Cheetos to make them like smaller and crispier and thinner?
Yeah, the crunchy Cheetos. Well, there's Cheetos themselves are like crunchier now. We're not cheese puffs are a whole separate thing.
They did change Cheetos.
I think Cheetos does make a puffy Cheeto, but the Cheetos that I think you see most prominently in like lots of different flavors and stuff, like Flamin' Hot and whatever, are the thinner
ones.
And crunchier. But when we were kids, Mike, Cheetos were more like cheese puffs. And so the crunchy thing is, I think, relatively new.
When we were kids, you had to churn the butter. I mean, that's a long time ago. I don't remember crispy Cheetos either from those days. But we had a big argument in here today. Turns out they're not even in the vending machine, Joe. Fritos.
Fritos are. Yeah, the honey barbecue twists.
Honey barbecue twists. Yes.
Those are the good ones.
Get the hell out of here.
Those are the good ones.
Uh-huh.
I'm not. No such thing. I don't need cheese balls or cheese puffs.
Never ever.
I don't need cheese puffs or the crunchy ones. Cheese balls, though. Yes.
What?
The big tub. You get the big tub at a party. That's
yuck.
Living.
Yuck. As Rachel Homan would say, never ever ever. Joe.
Who is this?
Rachel Homan. Okay. One of my favorites. Let's go to a break. We have Ben Wagner coming up. We'll talk some football next hour, too. We think this game will be on MLB Network. That's what the reports have had. But anybody who's gone through it with us and, you know, on your own, trying to watch baseball in Buffalo, never take it for granted whether the game will be on. We'll see at 6:30. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.